I was just going to share for a few more minutes on the same topic, Psalm 34. I've been reading a bit in Psalm 34 for the last week or so, and there's a lot of riches in that chapter. I'm only going to read from verses 1 to 10, so we're only going to cover 10 verses in Psalm 34. So if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 34. And I was really blessed by, you know, these first 10 verses. And I've split them into sections, but why don't we just pray to start? Lord, we just ask you to open up your word to us. And we just ask, Lord, that you would do a good work in each of our hearts here this morning and let us come to know you in a deeper way, Lord. Amen. So we're going to focus first on verses 1 to 3 from Psalm 34. And verses 1 to 3, I would call this the power of praise. Okay, the power of praise. Verses 1 to 3. So let me read these verses. It says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So those are the first three verses. I wanted to talk about this a bit. So let's look at the first part here. I will bless the Lord at all times. So the question I was thinking about is, does that mean every minute, every hour, every minute, every second of every day and night that I'm praising the Lord? I was thinking about that, talking to another brother about the thought, and I think we came to the conclusion it likely means in all circumstances. So whether we're going through good circumstances or hard circumstances, you know, whether we're going through joyful times or sorrowful times, you know, whether there's easy times in front of us or difficult times, whatever the circumstances, we can bless the Lord, we can praise the Lord at all times, in all of those different kinds of circumstances. When it says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth, I was thinking about that, and I think the more we can learn to acknowledge God in all of our ways, this can help us. So for example, as I'm driving to work, I can just say, Lord, thank you for this day. Help me to honor you today. You know, as I'm going for a walk in the forest, Lord, thank you for this day. Help me to overcome today. You know, if I'm at work heading into a meeting, same thing, I can just quickly look up, say, Lord, thank you for being with me today. Help me in this day. And it's like, as we learn to acknowledge God in all of our ways, as we go through our day, whether you're at school, whether you're at work, whether you're lifeguarding, you know, whether you're, you know, at the gym lifting weights, whatever it is we do, we should acknowledge God in all our ways. And when we do that, we can start to praise him. Lord, you are good. Just a little prayer to the Lord. You are good. And I think the more we do that, you know, the easier it becomes. Now, one big thing that helps me to praise God at all times is to know that God is my Father who loves me with an everlasting love. If we know that about our Father, that can help us to praise him at all times, because we know whatever circumstance we're going through, you know, if we're going through the difficult times, if we're going through the times that are sorrowful, you know, the tough times, we know that God has allowed it for a reason, and because he's good. And I think the more we can trust God more, the more we can be able to praise him even in the harder times. And how do we do that practically? I think we can just go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me know you as my Father and help me to trust you more. And as we do that, that can help us to praise God at all times. Now, verse 1 says, at the second half of verse 1, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So we know that praise to God starts in our heart. Like it would be useless to just praise God with our lips if it's not in our heart, right? The Lord doesn't want that. He wants us to be praising him in our heart. It starts in the heart. But it's also good to sing and praise the Lord out loud. It says, in my mouth. We actually know the praise to God is a testimony to other people and also to the unseen world, the demons and the devils. And in fact, Jason sang that song today, how praise is a weapon that silences the enemy. If we look at Psalm 8, verse 2, it says in the NIV version, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. So praise to the Lord out loud can actually silence the enemy. The demons, the devil wants to discourage us. They can be around us. And sometimes when we praise the Lord out loud, it can be a powerful weapon. You know, a lot of us have heard the story many times how, you know, King Jehoshaphat was surrounded by a multitude greater than he could count. And he sent forth the people who praised God in front of the army. They started praising the Lord with their mouths, and the enemy destroyed themselves. So praise is a powerful weapon that can silence the enemy. But there's one additional benefit we see in these verses about praise. It says in verse 2, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and rejoice. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So I notice when it says the humble will hear and rejoice, when we're actually praising the Lord with our lips out loud, other believers can hear us. And when they hear us praising the Lord, they can rejoice as well. You could be going through your day, and there could be, unknown to you, there could be another believer who's discouraged and needs to be lifted up. And if you're just praising the Lord because you're sort of full of joy inside, another believer might see that, and they might actually be encouraged and rejoice with you. It can be contagious in a good way. You know, we all know how viruses can spread in a bad way. Well, the praise of God can spread in a good way, and the Lord wants us to be able to do that. When you're in your workplace, wherever you are, you can be praising God, and other people might see you, and they might be drawn to that thing. Wow, that's cool. I want to do that. And then if you look at verse 3, there's an invitation here. He says, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So as you come across another brother and they're starting to rejoice, you can encourage them. Come, let's praise the Lord together. And I think that glorifies the Lord. So let's practice that in our life. So that's the first three verses. Let's go to the second section is in verses 4-7. I'll read these verses, but I wanted to call this section the first section was there's power in praise. This section would be called freedom from fear. So let's read verses 4-7. I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. So verse 4, he delivered me from all my fears. What fears could this be talking about? Like in this particular case, David was on the run from King Saul, and he was hiding. He was before actually King Abimelech, I think it was the Philistine king, who was possibly going to kill him because he realized who David was, and David was afraid for his life. But what kind of other fears could we have? You know, let's think about that. You know, some of us have big fears. Some of us have smaller fears. You know, when I was younger, I used to be afraid of wasps. That was a fear I had, right? Some of us have fear of death. You know, some of us can have fear of getting sick, getting ill. We can have fears of not having enough money to do what we need. Some of us could be afraid of what others think about us. You know, what do my friends think about? Some of us might be afraid of not succeeding at whatever we're trying to do. There's so many different fears we have. And if you think about that in your heart, like, what fears do you have at this time? Think on that. And let's reread the second half of verse 4. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. The question for us to think about is, can the Lord deliver us from all our fears? So every last fear we have, the Lord can deliver us from. And of course the answer is yes, but how can the Lord do that in our life? How can he deliver us from all these fears? How does he do it? And we see here, I sought the Lord and he answered me. So we can pray to God to help us. But I think there's an additional way. If we go to Romans chapter 8, let's look at Romans 8 verse 15. Romans 8 verse 15. It says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Knowing God intimately as our Father can help us to praise him at all times, as we said, but it can also deliver us from all fears. Most of us would know in our head that we're children of God. You know, our parents tell us that, the Bible tells us that, but do we know that in our heart? Do we know intimately that God is our Father who loves us with an everlasting love, and nothing can hurt us aside from his will? Whatever we're facing, whether it's illness, whether it's enemies, whether it's whatever it is, that the Lord has allowed it for a purpose, and nothing can happen to us outside of his loving plan. Like, if we believe that, that can help us to overcome all fear. It says, the spirit of, what does it say here in verse 15? We have not received a spirit leading of slavery leading to fear, but we have received a spirit of adoption as sons. The Lord wants us to know without a shadow of a doubt we are his children and he loves us with an everlasting love. I think if we know that, that can deliver us from all these fears. What we need to do is we need to see that and we need to ask the Lord to show us. So let's look at the result of that back in Psalm 34. When we know God as our Father, not as a harsh taskmaster who's just waiting to slap our hand for doing something wrong, but he's a loving Father. When we know that, he can deliver us from all fears. And let's look at the result. Psalm 34 again, verse 5. It says, they looked to him and were radiant. The word radiant could mean like glowing or full of joy or just, you know, I just think of a flower in the morning that opens its bloom and looks up to the sun. We see that flowers, they point to the sun. And I just think if the Lord can do this work in our life, he can deliver us from all fear. And we know him as our Father. You know, we can look to him and be radiant. And it says their faces will never be ashamed. That's what I want the Lord to do in my life. Now it says in verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. David wrote the psalm and David had been anointed king of Israel. Yet he describes himself as this poor man. David had a heart of humility. And we know in the Bible that, about humility, like it says, the Lord will give grace to the humble. I think one little clue we can see here is having humility as we come to the Lord will hear our prayers and he can help us. So I think that's a little nugget in there I think it's important. And then, of course, in verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues him. So the key here, I think, in these verses is know God as your Father. Know that you've been adopted as a child and that he loves you with an everlasting love. And we can say, Lord, open my eyes to see that you're my Father and that I can trust you with all my heart, with everything in my life. And therefore, I don't have to give way to fear in anything in my life at all. So verse 8, let's move on to the last three verses I had, verses 8 to 10. These sections I've called them taste and see. So let's read it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. To those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. If we're thinking about this verse related to unbelievers, you know, they just think we're in some religion that's full of rules and we're just trying to do our best to keep all these rules. They don't actually understand that we're in a relationship with the God of the universe who's our Father, who has a loving relationship with us. And as we follow him and as we obey him, it just gives us joy that they can't understand. That, like, unbelievers have to taste and see how good God is. And when they do, it'll resolve all of their questions. For example, that bag of plants I showed here, that it tastes like sugar. Like, a lot of people would not even understand how that could work, but if you try it later, you'll actually see. Now, the Queen of Sheba, I'm going to read a couple quick verses on this. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. This is just a very simple example about this. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. The Queen of Sheba had heard all about King Solomon, about the glory in his kingdom, about all the amazing things he built and all this stuff, about his wisdom he had. She heard about it all from afar, but she didn't really believe it could be true. So she had to come all the way to visit King Solomon to prove to herself that it was true. And I'm just going to read two verses, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. So it said the queen, you know, she gets to Solomon's kingdom and she sees everything before her, how it was all set up, and she sees his wisdom, she sees the glory and the riches and everything. And she says to the king in verse 5, it was a true report that I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not even believe it until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, half of the greatness of your wisdom was not even told to me. You surpass the report that I heard. And when I read that, I was just thinking, it's almost like a parallel. Like, we don't even know how good God is. We only know a little bit. And even as a believer, and you know, I've walked with the Lord for 30 years, like, there's more to know. There's just more to know about his goodness. It says all the books in the world could not even contain all the things that the Lord Jesus did when he was here on earth. There's more to know. And she, like the Queen of Sheba said about Solomon, not even talking about God, like, even half of what was told, she couldn't even believe it until she saw it. Well, it's like that about the Lord. We need to taste and see. God is good. We need to seek the God and we will find him. And if we draw near to God, he will reveal himself to us. I just wanted to share a very quick example about tasting and seeing that God is good. Okay, so we're going to go back 30 years in my life. Rewind back 30 years. I was 16. Do we have any 16-year-olds here? Anyone who's 16, exactly. I know Abigail is. Anyone else? Okay, Samuel. So we have at least two. Okay, so I'm 16 years old. I'm working my very first job I had as a turkey catcher, and I was not a believer. I didn't know the Lord. I knew about God, but I did not know God. Okay, my first night there, it actually felt like I had died and gone to hell. It was in a dark barn working in the night, and this barn was filled with 1,000 huge, in my mind, 100-pound creatures, like little dinosaurs with razor-sharp claws and razor-sharp beak, and all their only purpose was to try to kill me. And the barn, the smells in this barn were the worst smell you could possibly imagine, and if you breathe out of your nose even for a moment, you immediately throw up. I actually thought I was in a time loop, gone to hell, and would never come out of this place again. Literally, I actually thought that. It was not a good experience. Anyways, I didn't know God then. And I was, you know, running through the barn, grabbing these 50-pound birds. And I was exhausted by the end of the night. I felt like I couldn't do another one. Anyways, I called out to the Lord. And I said, Lord, let this next bird be a small one. And the barn is dark, so you can't even see what you're grabbing. You grab whatever, and you come up with something. So you can't tell if it's small or not. Anyways, the next bird I grabbed was the smallest bird I grabbed all night. And in that moment, I said, Lord, you answered my prayer, and I don't even deserve it. He answered my prayer, and in that moment, I got a little sense. I tasted and saw that God was good, and I wasn't even born again at that point, but I tasted and saw God was good in that way. And 30 years later, I still remember that story. And so tasting and seeing God is good. It can be for believers as well. As we pray to God and we ask him to help us with things and he helps us, we get another taste that God is good. We ask God, Lord, show me your goodness. Show me your love in a deeper way. He's going to show us that. We're going to taste and see God is good. And as we do that, it's going to build our faith more and more. So I just want to, when I read these verses here, I wanted to encourage each of us to draw near to God. Pray to God, and as you get experiences with God in your life, you know, God will answer your prayer. You're going to have joy, and that's going to happen over and over again. Your faith is going to be built, and God is going to just do a good work in your life. So I wanted to encourage you with that. So anyways, verse 8, last verse here in Psalm 34. Let's just quickly. Actually, it's the second half of verse 8. It says, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in God. Taking refuge in God, what does that look like? Some people are faced with so many problems in their life, they don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. You know, they want to stay under their covers, put the blankets over their head, and not face the day, because they're just, you know, how am I going to face the day with all my problems? God wants us to get up out of bed and face the day, but he wants to do it with him. God has promised that we can take refuge in him as we go through our day. In fact, Psalm 37, verse 24 says, it says, the Lord is the one who holds your hand. God wants to take our hand, and he wants to go through the day with us. And in doing so, we can still take refuge. We're hiding in God, but we're doing it with God. So that's what, you know, when I read that verse, I just thought, you know what? We need to learn to take refuge in God. And it says, yeah, those who seek the Lord will not be in want of any good thing. So those were the verses I wanted to share. Taste and see God is good. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to us. Amen.